Well, I would invite you to take your Bibles now this evening and turn to the prophet Isaiah there in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah chapter 60. If you would turn there with me. And I would like to read the entire chapter. I realize the impossibility of preaching the entire chapter tonight. My wife reminded me of that this morning too. But we're going to read it because it is one unit together. You've got to hear this whole chapter. So let's listen to the word of God here. Beginning at verse 1, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. And then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah and all those from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of Yahweh. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their roots? Surely the coastland shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. The sons of foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have mercy on you. Therefore your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in procession. For the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the pine, the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Also the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing down to you, and all those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and milk the breast of kings, and you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, and the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders. But you shall be called your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Also your people shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Let's pray together. Lord, this is a beautiful passage of Scripture. May we at least see part of what you're beginning to show us, and we're beginning to show your people, and the realities of it for us today and for the future as well. And may you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to get us all on the same page together here, no pun intended, because, you know, sometimes when we come to studying the Old Testament, you know, people are of several minds. You know, some people will say, they'll look at this book like a book like Isaiah and say, you know, that was just Jewish. That was just the Old Testament. It applies basically only to them, you know. I hope we don't have that sort of naive view of the Old Testament. After all, the Old Testament was written for us, on whom the fullness of the ages have come. So it has its application for us today. And plus, I think that the apostles were clear in their teaching that those who have come to faith are the true Israel. They're the people of God, and so they have a right to place themselves here in Isaiah chapter 60. Let me just read a couple of verses from you from the New Testament. Go with me to the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16. This is the Apostle Paul speaking there. It says, "As many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." He is writing this book of Galatians to bring the peoples together, the Jews and the Gentiles. Turn back a couple of pages in that same book. If you look at verse 28 and 29 of chapter 3, we read these words of the apostle there. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So the apostle is teaching us in the New Testament that every believer is of the seed of Abraham. They are of the people to whom Isaiah chapter 60 was written. So we can enter in fully to the promises that are promised in this chapter. I just think that's an important for us to, because this is a fantastic chapter of promises. I mean, let's just start with verse 1 there. It says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." God says to his people, "Stand up and shine, because I have shined my glory upon you." This word "shine" there in the Hebrew is the same word that they use for the sun shining. And he's saying that to his people. Look, you are going to shine. Now we look at ourselves and we say, really? You know, he must be talking about somebody else. No, he's not. He was addressing himself to all the people of God there. You know, we sometimes, and it's all right to be modest. It's all right to be humble. We are small people. I mean, other than Eastmanville and probably the people in Hastings, nobody knows who Peter Adams is. You know, nobody even cares who Peter Adams is. Nobody probably knows my name anywhere. I'm not a great man in that sort of sense. And neither are you, beloved. We're just common, ordinary people. But the scriptures tell us here, Isaiah is saying to you, stand up and shine, for God's glory has come upon you. I try to think of some analogous kind of situations that would help us to understand this. Two of them came to mind as I was thinking about this passage. One is that situation where Jesus goes up onto the mountain with his disciples, Peter and James and John, and he sees Moses and Elijah, and the scriptures tell us that his face began to shine. His clothing became white like the brightest launderer couldn't make them. And it was so terrifying to the disciples that they were just taken aback. They were fearful. But that's not the only place where that kind of thing happened. You remember Moses in the Old Testament? When he went up onto the mountain, children? And when he came back down from the mountain, it said that his face shone. Shined, which is the right terminology in modern English anymore. It was bright with the glory of God. And now God says, in Isaiah's view of prophecy and of the future, my people are going to be like that. It's not just going to be the exceptional Moses who's like that. Now, I'm not saying, we need to understand the metaphor here. I'm not saying that, you know, you'll wake up tomorrow morning and your wife will say, what happened to you? Your face is shining. But there is that goodness of God, which we have experienced in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a natural part. It's a shiny thing in this world. When you love your wife and your children, and when you wives love your husband and your children, that is a shining thing in this world. When you pursue your business without cheating and taking advantage of your employees and whatever that is in a righteous manner, you are shining in this world. And there are a myriad of other ways. When you speak kindly, when you speak truthfully, when you there's just a myriad of things we could say that is shining in this world, because the world, as verse 2 teaches us, is the opposite of that. They do not know the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is not shined in upon them at this point in time, and therefore they are wrapped up in darkness. So it doesn't surprise you when their lives become chaotic and disastrous, because as Isaiah said in one of his earlier chapters, they're like a blind man who is groping for the wall, trying to find some way in life, thinking that they have something, but they have not arrived at anything. They are lost in their darkness. And God says it's for us then to shine the light of God through our works and through our words, through our lives. Now, it's not your light, as the text makes it clear here. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It's not that you're extraordinary people or that I'm extraordinary. We are not. But we have come to know the extraordinary God. And that makes a difference as to who we are in this world. Well, you might say, or someone might say, well, yeah, but, you know, how am I what's my part in this? You're saying it's God's glory and God's shining. Well, I'm arrested by the first word of the text, though. It says, arise. And this gets into the mystery of God's sovereign way and will in this world and man's responsibility. And we always hold those in tension. Yes, the glory of your shining will be from God, but you are still responsible for rising up to that, to the best of your ability, walking with your God, so that your life will be impactful in this world. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. These are indicative statements. God's going to do that in your life. And to one degree or another, he's doing that right now. I think the part of our problem is we fixate on how bad everything is out there. And there's plenty of things we could talk about that are really bad in this world and depressing and dark. But we need to realize, yes, but in the midst of all that darkness, there is God who is rising up over us, who is shedding out his grace upon us, and his glory will be seen upon you. You know, that calls to mind that situation when they were in the desert, remember? Circumstances were not great, but over top of them was the glory cloud. Remember those stories, children? How the cloud was over top of the camp, and how the fire in the cloud, fiery cloud at night, was giving light to the camp. Can you imagine if you were some person walking through the desert and you looked up and you saw that? See? And this is the picture that Isaiah is drawing for the people of God. He's saying, look, God is going to come upon us in such a way that people will see the light that we have within us. Now, what's the result of that going to be? Well, there are at least, all right, I'm just going to read them, but I'm not going to preach about all these, but I want you to put them in your mind for later, all right? We've just been talking about the brilliance of God upon us, but there's attractiveness because of that. God's making us wealthy in a certain way, both primarily spiritually, but also physically in a certain sense. God's making us, making himself accessible. The gates shall never be shut. We'll come up in this. He's making us beautiful because of this. It says, your heart will be radiant. He's making his church to grow. See, there's so much to preach here. Jeff, you take it up later, maybe. Five sermons at least in this chapter. You know, the one will become a nation. The one will become a clan. And on it goes here in this chapter. But I just have to just go to this third thing here. This attractiveness that comes because God's glory is upon us. And the attractiveness results in this. The Gentiles shall come to your light. The kings to the brightness of your rising. Beloved, we need to believe a statement like this. that the light of the gospel, which God graciously showers out upon us and makes us bright with that, is and will continue to conquer in the darkness of the nations. The nations will come to Jesus. I believe that because Isaiah says that. Okay? Now, we haven't seen it in its totality, maybe, but we have already seen the beginnings of that. I see the beginning, I see part of that tonight, right here. As far as I know, none of you are probably Jewish. Okay? Tonight. I apologize if you are, and I missed it. We're from the nations. You know, my ancestors used to paint, tattoo their bodies blue and hide out above Hadrian's Wall. But they came to faith. And the nations continue to come to faith. Now, that doesn't mean we want to lessen our missionary endeavors. We are got to be shining throughout the world. But I do want us to be encouraged to think that God is slowly triumphing in this world. And that he's going to continue to do that triumph through us rising and shining with the glory of God upon us. So you have a new old mission here in East Springfield tonight. It's not new because it's always been with us, but let's refresh ourselves in this. Let's make ourselves aware of it. Stand up and shine with the glory of God. To do that, of course, we need to continually draw near to God. I'm in danger of getting into some more parts of this, but he's going to provide for us to be able to do that. That's, you have all this language about riches coming upon us, both, and I think it speaks to us metaphorically, both spiritual and physically enough as well. You know, he's fulfilling this promise that the one shall become a nation. And you're going, how does that work? Well, let me give you a suggestion on this, all right? The reason we don't think of ourselves as a believer becoming a nation is because we just think too much of our own lifetime, okay? And we have a small conception of the church, not theoretically, but practically. We think of it as just this little group that we're in. But beloved, the church is in heaven too. Right now, there are millions and millions and millions of people, believers, who are in heaven. And somewhere way back when, that huge group of people, huge groups of people that are in heaven started with just one person. See, one person came to faith, and they passed that faith along. And those people passed that faith along. And we don't see the consequences of it because we're not up in heaven there. But they're there right now. And your life can have that kind of impact too. Think beyond yourself and just getting to heaven yourself. Think covenantally that you're going to pass this gospel along to your children and your grandchildren and neighbors and friends and anyone you meet as you shine with the glory of God. so that this promise becomes true somewhere down the line. We serve a great God, don't we? You know, that he would make promises like this to us as just feeble people. But he's doing it. And he's going to do it through you guys too. You shining ones. I'm going to call you the shining ones now for the rest of the night. Because that's how Isaiah looks at you. The glory of God has come down upon you. And in some fashion, in some way, you shine with the glory of God. Now rise up and take that with you through the weeks, through the months, through the years. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are not worthy of this, but we were not worthy to be called into your glory, to see the glory of Jesus. But in your great mercy and love, you have done it. And now may we be those that rise up in attractiveness, in purity and righteousness before this world that's stumbling in darkness, and continue to call the nations in to yourself through that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.